Hey, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We have another busy episode for you today on this fine Tuesday as we continue our off-season content. Yes, a lot more on the off-season agenda today. We're going to take a pause on the player review for a moment, but we're going to get into that more throughout the week. But today, we're going to be talking about Mark Shapiro, his media availability, his end-of-season media availability, what that means for the Blue Jays, some of the interesting quotes that he said during that media availability, and of course, a look ahead to minor league players now getting homes and what that will mean for minor league baseball. So, an exciting show ahead. Of course, we're going to be joined once again by MLB analyst Jen Smith, so she'll be along as we discuss those items. Of course, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Of course, you can find my work on Twitter at Wii Sports, as well as at Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, Complex, Toronto Star, and of course, play-by-play broadcasting on Saga 960 AM Radio. Now, without further ado, let's get to today's episode of Locked On Blue Jays as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, Blue Jays fans? And welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. Of course, we're continuing our off-season content today, and who better to join me once again than MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast again.
Thank you. I feel like using a word that Mark Shapiro used quite a bit today, and that's that we have some urgency to talk about all of this.
Yes, of course. You know, always, you know, chatting baseball, it's always fun, and I feel like, you know, just by talking and hearing Mark Shapiro's media availability, which we'll get into on this podcast, there is certainly a sense of urgency. And there's certainly a sense of urgency when watching the MLB postseason and what could have been. And the sense of urgency is getting to spring training, which is a few months away. I know there's still a lot of things to happen. There's Halloween, there's American Thanksgiving. If you're an American listening to this, there's Christmas, Hanukkah, all the great stuff before we get there. But of course, you know, it's always great to be positive and to look ahead and to have that urgency. But I digress. We're going to get into a lot today on this episode. We're going to take a pause on the player reviews, but we're going to continue those this week. So don't fret there. We also opened the mailbag. So for anyone who has a question for Jen and I about the Blue Jays, about baseball, covering baseball, fun Blue Jays stories that Jen has experienced covering the team, any of that, if you have any questions, please follow us on Twitter, DM us, email us. You can find all that information on Twitter, of course. Today, we're going to be talking about Mark Shapiro's media availability for the first couple of segments. And then the last segment, we're going to get into a report that ESPN senior baseball reporter Jeff Passan broke, which is minor league baseball players getting homes, which to me, I think is really interesting. So we're going to dive into that and how that pertains to the Blue Jays. But we're going to start, though, by talking about Mark Shapiro, Blue Jays president of baseball ops, his end of season media availability, which took place today, of course. Jen, you've sat through these, you've heard different presidents, people talk, executives talk about once the season ends and looking ahead. Just big picture, what were your thoughts on what Mark had to say in his end of season media availability?
Well, he said a lot of what I would have expected him to say, given especially the way that the season ended. And I thought it was really interesting right off the top when he addressed the media. And of course, he first said, you know, how proud he was of the team with regards to their performance on the field, the resilience that they had shown, the progress that the team had made, going from, you know, 95 losses to 91 wins, and that there was a lot to build upon. But the word that he used to describe his overall feeling, or what he was left with, was a feeling of bitterness. And I thought that was a really good and interesting choice of words. He didn't say frustrated. He didn't say disappointed, or, you know, such things like that. He actually used the word bitterness. And I think that matches what some fans feel as well. And, you know, it was just a strong word. And I thought that caught my attention when he came right off the bat and he said that, and how, you know, obviously no matter what, a front office is going to be always motivated to get better, but he really seemed to take it personally almost.
He certainly did. And I also found it interesting too, to that point that he brought up when he was with Cleveland and his team law, you know, his team won 92 or 93 games. I think it was in 2005, and they still missed the playoffs. Yep. Now, of course, there's an added wild card team now and whatnot, but I think that similar sentiment is there. And I think it shows, like, Mark Shapiro is a competitive guy. And, you know, this is a guy that has been around baseball for a while. He wants to win. It's definitely evident, I think, big picture, watching this end of season media availability. And I think given everything that the Blue Jays had been through this season, now again, I don't think, you know, he's not going to make any, you know, huge excuse over that, but it's clear. I mean, what they've been through was different than any other major league franchise. But I think he would have liked to have seen what this core group and the guys on this roster could have done if they had made the postseason. Because, like he said, right, you know, he said this when asked about the fear factor of the Blue Jays if they were to make the postseason. He said, quote, "I do feel like when I watch the playoffs, that if we had found a way to get in, we were going to be a team that would have been very tough in the postseason." So I think that just speaks to your point there, Jen, about the bitterness that he's feeling, because he really believed that given what the Blue Jays were doing towards the end of the season, and if they got in, they would have been a difficult team to face.
Well, yeah, he said that they would have been tough to beat in the playoffs. And he said that, you know, once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. Any team can get hot. And for sure, the Blue Jays were, you know, the hottest team in baseball headed down that stretch. They had to be in order to have a chance to even make the postseason, right? So you see that kind of performance from the players on the field, and you know exactly what they're capable of. And to miss out by one win really must leave, you know, that feeling of bitterness. I'll use his exact words. And the fact that he brought up how he still feels from that 2005 season, you know, does tell me that he takes these things quite personally, and he should, right? This is his job. This is his passion. This is what he does, right? This is a huge responsibility. So, you know, and clearly he wasn't making excuses. He did bring up the fact that the Blue Jays had to face something that no other team had to face. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, you put together this team, you make the offseason move for Springer, which, you know, in and of itself, you know, pandemic aside, Springer's injury meant that he didn't play a full season. You know, but along comes this pandemic that nobody can control. And as a result of it, you know, your team is stuck playing in these other facilities, being booed in their quote unquote home games, and, you know, sort of dealing with something that's a challenge on top of the 162 game grind, right? And so, you know, you put it all together, and I'm sure that, you know, it just is going to propel all of them to improve on this season next year. I did like that the first thing out of his mouth with regards to, you know, the difference between the number of wins and the run differential had nothing to do with any of that. It had to do with the bullpen. That was the first word out of his mouth. And so I thought that was incredibly important because, as we all know, the bullpen is a priority this offseason. And, you know, Ross Atkins mentioned it in his media availability, and it was good to hear that be the first word to come out of Shapiro's mouth today with regards to talking about how to increase the number of wins.
That is very interesting because he didn't mention that, but he was asked if he could have made any moves to maybe help the bullpen, especially in that stretch where the Blue Jays really struggled. And Mark's, you know, rightfully so, stood up for his front office, praised the moves, the good moves that he made, including the Barrios trade, getting Simber and Richards. Now that improved the bullpen. But he didn't say, like, the bullpen is such a tough aspect to address because it's so fickle, right? Like, it's so unpredictable who's going to be good, what's going to be the case, you know, going into next season in terms of what's going to be a viable arm, who's going to fit in this roster bullpen-wise. But it is so important because, again, I think he certainly understands, like, if we could have won those games when the bullpen really struggled, we'd probably be in the playoffs, right? So that probably contributes to some of that bitterness that he was feeling, certainly not making it, and what he could have done to improve that. But I just think going bigger picture, back to your point. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
I was just going to say, he also said that, you know, with regards to the bullpen, that trades don't get done early in the season.
Right.
So they were kind of hamstrung in terms of actually being able to address it until later in the season. And by then, you know, a certain number of wins had already been squandered, right? And so that was a fair point, I thought, as well.
No, for sure. And I think back to your point about Shapiro's quote about just getting into the postseason, I think that's so true about baseball, right? Because, look, we've seen, as we're recording this episode right now, you have the Boston Red Sox and the Houston Astros. They're tied at one. You got three games in Fenway Park, the ALCS. It's a tough place to play. And you see how Boston's gotten red hot, you know, much to the dismay of Blue Jays fans. That's the reality right now. Like, the team that nobody would have expected to get this far, they're in the ALCS right now. On the NL side, the Atlanta Braves, no one was giving the Atlanta Braves a chance in the NLCS when they're going up against the defending World Series champs, the LA Dodgers. And now they're up 2-0 in the NLCS. Obviously a long way to go, but it just goes to show you that, again, once you get in, anything is possible. And I think that's what makes the postseason amazing. But I think for Shapiro, and he certainly knows this, is, you know, not only can you get, you know, the one or two wins that would have gotten you in the wild card, but you look at the division, right? Because that's ultimately, I think, is what this team wants to aspire to, is winning the AL East so that they don't have to get into that one game wild card scenario. They then get to a best of five.
Right. And I can't remember who it was who brought that up in the press conference today, but they asked him, you know, would 92, 93 wins even be enough to make the postseason in the AL East, right? And his answer was, well, I hope so, but, you know, there's no guarantee that is enough to get your team in. So, right, you're absolutely right. It's not just a matter of improving by one or two wins. The goal ultimately has to be to win the division somehow so that you don't have to worry about, you know, other teams and what they're doing and be in the same scenario where you don't control your own fate.
With MLB analyst Jen Smith, this is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. We're talking about Mark Shapiro's media availability, and we're going to continue that conversation coming right up. But first, let me talk to you about Rock Auto. This episode is actually brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? I mean, there's got to be a better way. Well, there is, and it's Rock Auto. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you can need, from brake parts and tail lamps to motor oil and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked on their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. I want to thank all the listeners for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. We're going to continue our conversation about Mark Shapiro's media availability. I want to get to Jen, the question about the pending free agents, because that was obviously a hot button topic coming into this media availability. And I thought this was, to me, Mark's most fascinating quote when asked about the pending free agents, of course, Marcus Semien, Robbie Ray, and Steven Matz. And he had this to say. He said, "We'd love to sign all three of those guys back. Those guys are that will go into the market and compete for." But he also did say that, you know, it's all about getting better. And I think that, to me, was a huge quote there, because ultimately what he was implying is, look, there's a chance, but if we don't bring them back, which is probably the likely scenario, we'll find other ways to get better. Your thoughts on what he on that?
Yeah, he actually said that he was not a believer that you have to sign anyone back.
Yeah,
that you simply have to get better, right? And that suggested to me that they will make their offers, but that they certainly do not expect Ray, Semien, or Matz to accept those offers. That's what it sounded like to me, right? We are likely going to have to move on from these three players, and there are multiple ways to fill those gaps and multiple ways to improve. And, you know, that it was great having them. Likely we're moving on. That's how I read that statement.
Yeah. And look, I think Mark did go on to talk a lot about Marcus, certainly. And we've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast about sort of the off the field stuff and just, you know, how he called Semien, quote, a role model for all of us in the way we approach our job. I mean, that's very high praise, and right.
It was very high praise. Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, like, I just think for me, like, that's, that quote to me was just very eye-opening. Like, me, you know, because sometimes you sort of hear front office executives in these NFCs and media veils, just like, you know, the sort of non-answer, like, we're going to, you know, talk to them. You know, we've talked, we've had dialogue, that sort of, you know, those buzzwords. But to just, again, go back to the concept of trying to do anything to get better, anything to get better, that sense of urgency that we talked, you know, off the top, because, you know, that's who Mark Shapiro is. And, you know, if you look at the wider context, I mean, Mark came here at the end of 2015. He certainly was not his predecessor, Paul Beeston. But he had that same mentality. Now, I know Blue Jays fans maybe didn't want to hear that right off the top. And he was this new guy, and he was this guy and whatnot. But he came to modernize the baseball ops of this franchise. He came to rebuild, and he came because he wanted to win. And now we're in this point of, in time where it's a very competitive window, and he's going to do whatever it takes. And if that means not signing any of those three guys and, you know, maybe exploring other options like a Kyle Seager or Jose Ramirez, be my guest. I think that's, you know, again, they're going to do what they have to do, but they're going to do it with the sole purpose of trying to find a way to get better and to improve.
Right. And so I think that, you know, they're not going to overspend on a particular player just to keep them within the organization when there are multiple ways to get better, right? So he did mention several times that he expects the payroll to go up, and that he mentioned the support from ownership, and that he expects that to continue despite the loss of revenue the past couple of seasons. But then he also mentioned again the internal assets that they have in order to go out and make trades, right? So he has two avenues open to him to actually improve this team. And Ross Atkins mentioned that as well when he spoke to the media. So, you know, it's obvious that, you know, like you said, they came in at the end of 2015 with a particular plan in mind. They had a timeline for that plan. And it wasn't popular at the beginning because it certainly, you know, to sort of tear down the team that the fans had fallen in love with and just rebuild. Nobody likes to see that happen. But, you know, what a difference, I think, overall in the perception of this front office in a relatively short period of time, right? You don't have to like every move that they've made, but to from where they were and you know, where they are now is just incredible. And I think that a lot of people, you know, have been forced to maybe admit that they were a little bit wrong about this front office. In comparison to what they thought a few years ago. That doesn't mean their job is done at all, though, by any means, right? Like this team, as it's built around this young core, is absolutely expected to make the postseason in a very short time frame from now. So that has to happen.
No doubt. And Ross Atkins mentioned in his media availability, you know, we're all in. And we've talked about this on the podcast that this is what last season did. It was the expectations. It set those expectations now for this team to make the postseason. But, you know, you brought up payroll. And I think that's Mark Shapiro, I would argue, is most important part of his role is being that liaison between team and ownership. And look, let's face it. I mean, Rogers is a communications company first and foremost. Mm-hmm. It has to obviously, you know, do what it takes to, you know, help the shareholders, help make money for the whole company. And media and the Blue Jays are sort of, you know, a small but important part of the overall company. But I do think that you have to give Shapiro credit for being able to have the experience, have the overall, you know, negotiating, you know, capital, if you will, to be able to go into a boardroom where, let's be honest, there's probably people in that boardroom. Some of them want the Blue Jays to succeed. Others are more interested in wireless, right? And that's okay, because that's just the nature of the business, right? But I think it's, you know, it says a lot about Mark to be able to go into this situation and be able to really ensure that, you know, when that rubber meets the road, because again, we've seen in 2015 and 16, when the team does well, people are going to show up to the ballpark. And I know that the pandemic has obviously thwarted some of those revenue plans, but the theory has been tested correctly that when this team does well, people are going to show up and support them.
Well, and to go to ownership and pitch your budget needs, it really does go a long way when you can point to the success that your team just had on the field, right? You know, sort of a show me type of thing. You can't go to ownership and ask for more money when you haven't been able to put a decent product on the field, right? And he did refer to this team as a product. That's what this is, right? Maybe not so much to fans, but from a business perspective, the Toronto Blue Jays, just like any other team, is a product. And so that product has to generate revenue, which means that there has to be consumers for that product. And so, you know, it all goes together. It's nobody's fault that they couldn't pack that stadium, you know, from beginning to end of the season. That's nobody's fault. So that has to kind of just, okay, you know, those losses exist, shove that aside. But we put this team on this field, and when fans were able to show up, they did. And, you know, here's what we need to eke out a few more wins and make that playoff push and fill the stadium with even more fans and generate even more revenue. And he sounded confident that ownership was going to be on board with their budgetary plans.
With MLB analyst Jen Smith, this is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. We are dissecting Blue Jays president of baseball operations, Mark Shapiro's media availability. We will be back in just a moment. But first, let me talk to you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, welcome back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Again, I want to thank all the listeners for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Another topic, Jen, was addressed, and this was part of a report that ESPN baseball reporter Jeff Passan broke, I believe it was Sunday, and it was about minor leaguers getting homes. And I know for some baseball fans who may be tuning into this, they may think like, oh, wow, like I thought minor leaguers had homes. Nope. That was certainly not the case. And this is obviously a pretty significant report. Blue Jays president Mark Shapiro was asked about this, and he was very positive in just the overall assessment. Now, of course, Blue Jays have a minor league staff that are going to handle the apartments in Dunedin and Buffalo. But, Jen, look, I mean, we have heard stories of players, you know, going to social media, talking about the conditions of being a minor league player. And I know that sports fans sometimes see the professional players and they get caught up in all the money that they make, especially the high-end players. But for a lot of people, especially those people in minor league baseball, it is a grind. It is a real journey. So for this to happen, I mean, how important do you think this is just for minor league baseball and minor league players?
Oh, don't ever make it to the major leagues. And they're being paid very little money, but are, you know, encumbered to their team in terms of, you know, playing the games home and away. So there's the travel time built in. And then in the off season, keeping in shape while also managing, you know, part-time jobs in order to try to make ends meet. And we're not even talking about if they have a family to support at this point. You know, I don't want to applaud MLB too strongly on this, because quite honestly, this is something that should have happened sooner than now. Yeah. And it should not have taken minor league players taking to social media, you know, with photos of the food that they were being provided and the accommodations that they were living in. This should not have taken, you know, social media accounts that were advocating on behalf of minor league players. It should not have taken that much effort and pressure in order to have reached this point. That being said, I'm very glad that they've gotten to this point, that all teams are going to in some way need to provide housing to their minor league players. I don't know if that's going to be actual apartments or stipends. We'll see how that actually looks. And there's obviously still, you know, work to be done in terms of improving the livelihoods of minor league players. But this is definitely positive news and a good step in the right direction. Absolutely.
Well said. And I think it was because of, like you said, players posting, and also there have been stories reported over the years, and still MLB sort of did nothing about it. And even, like, let's be honest, last year, now they'll claim it's pandemic related, but they cut a lot of minor league teams. So there's communities that, like, are just no longer represented in minor league baseball. But that's another story for another day. I know, obviously, you know, as Shapiro said, there's still a ways to go with respect to conditions for minor leaguers. So this is certainly a start. But for the Blue Jays, I mean, look, I think with the investments that team has made in you know, just the facilities themselves in Dunedin and Buffalo, like, now adding this, it's certainly a part of it, and there's a lot more to be considered. But I mean, being a minor leaguer with the Blue Jays organization, I think, is just going to be even better now, just given the fact all these things are happening at this time.
Yes, and the Blue Jays had, you know, proactively raised salaries of their minor league players prior to it being mandated. So, you know, again, great, good step in the right direction. And hopefully, you know, all of these changes, all of these improvements genuinely do lead to improvements in the quality of life of these minor league players, right? They are assets to these teams. And, you know, the teams need to provide some sort of living wage for these guys to actually be able to support themselves. And if they have families, help to support their families as well. You can't be an athlete without having, you know, first of all, good nutrition and a good night's sleep every night, you know. And if you're sleeping on an air mattress and, you know, consuming some of the things that I saw minor league players tweeting about, you know, there's what real chance do you have? So, and aside just from being an athlete, I mean, you know, I'd like all workers to be paid a fair wage and have fair living conditions, whether they're athletes or not. So, you know, again, this, I don't want to applaud too much here, but it was a very welcome report to have gotten that from Jeff Paston yesterday.
Last two things on Mark Shapiro's media availability that caught my eye. December 1st, of course, is when the CBA expires, the current CBA as it's currently constructed. Mark did say that he's confident that the commissioner is going to have a deal. I mean, I don't know what else he can really say on that. Did you make anything of that? Like, or did you think?
Not really.
Yeah. Like, I just think that's just what he had to say, right? Like, you know, be confident, be optimistic, all that.
Right. I mean, you know, he said it was business as usual for as far as he was concerned. And I think that's exactly what he has to say. You know, he obviously knows more about it all than we do. But I don't think him being confident that a deal will get done means that a deal is imminent by any stretch.
And arguably the most important news of the day from this, and I think you're going to know where I'm going with this, Jen, Rogers Center is getting a new scoreboard. That is that breaking news. For those of you who are concerned about Rogers Center, that was the news today. Beyond anything else, they're getting this new scoreboard.
Yeah, that was just dropped right there at the end. You know, okay, cool.
I don't know, because it's like, is it the out-of-town scoreboard? Is it the Jumbotron? Like, who knows, right? Who knows?
I was picturing the Jumbotron, but I have absolutely no idea. And, you know, what the new scoreboard might do in terms of fan experience, but okay.
Yeah, for sure. Well, to wrap things up, because we're probably not going to hear from Mark for a little while in the front office, but look, I just think, you know, again, I mean, you know, I left Ross Atkins' media availability feeling optimistic. I left this one feeling a little bit optimistic as well. I think it's going to be a fascinating offseason. It hasn't really scratched the surface yet in terms of what will happen, but of course, the Locked On Blue Jays podcast, we're going to be your place for the offseason, all the moves that may transpire in the months to come. But first, before we wrap it up, Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
Please follow me at @baseball_Jen, and that's Jen with two N's.
Yes, that is MLB analyst Jen Smith. Thank you so much, everyone, for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Of course, after today's episode, we're going to be continuing the player reviews, so make sure to tune into those as we continue to dissect the roster, what players did well, what they need to improve on, and the future at the club. We also open the mailbag, so if you have any questions for Jen or myself, please DM us on Twitter or reply to our tweets, send us an email. We will make sure to have a mailbag-specific episode where we'll answer all of your questions. Now, make your second listen, Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays, it's also free and available on all platforms. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. So for today's Locked On Blue Jays episode, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Have yourselves a wonderful day.